Let me take a look at you today. Okay. God is a hip-intolerant female deity who isn't into wrath, sin, judgment, repentance, or any of that heavy stuff. Her wisdom is that we're all going to heaven, everyone, even Adolf Hitler. That's an example of the kind of non-judgmental relationship God has with us. God makes mistakes but learns from them. It's like on-the-job training for her. Okay, so that's an example of a lot of weird and wacky stuff out there about what God's like. The only authoritative information that we can have about God is found in the Bible. And the Bible says a lot about God and God's attributes and abilities. And we could look at a lot of them, but we're going to look at three over the next 3 weeks. I call them the three omnis of God. Today we're going to look at God's omniscience. And that word, if you were spelling it, you'd write the word omni plus science. It means God knows everything. He never discovers. He's never surprised. No problem confuses him. He doesn't need to ask anyone's advice. The Bible says his understanding knows no limit. In Hebrews 4:13, we read, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Everything's uncovered. That word means stripped bare. And laid bare means, it's an interesting word picture, of a knife under the chin, which raises the head up to look into the eyes of the judge or to the one of whom you must give account. So what's the scope of God's knowledge? God knows all about himself. The Bible says, who's been God's counselor? Obviously no one. And that was the conversation God and Job are having at the end of the book of Job. Job, were you there when I did this, when I know all this? And obviously Job didn't. Job needed a counselor. We need a counselor. God doesn't. We need a counselor because we don't know ourselves really. I'm always surprising myself. I thought I could do something and I find out I really can't. Or I thought I couldn't do it, but I could do it. But God knows everything that there is to know about himself. God also knows everything about creation. Genesis 1 says that God made everything, all that incredible variety out of nothing. Imagine that. And then he said it was good. Every blade of grass, every stone, every tree, every animal he created and said it was good to him. If the sparrow falls to the ground, God knows. He knows the exact number of hairs on our heads. He knows why the monarch butterflies fly to a certain forest in Mexico every year. And he knows why the salmon returns to the place it was hatched, swimming upstream even thousands of miles. God made bamboo, which for 5 years barely grows just a few inches, and then in the fifth year grows 60 feet. The universe is an amazing place, and God knows it thoroughly because he made it. God also knows about history. God knows the past and the future. God knows what might have happened but didn't happen. He's in control of it all, even though he's given human beings free choice. He knows about the extent of the coronavirus and its impact on economies. He knows all that. And he knows all about me. I like to think of a theological construct like God's omniscience and not just leave it theoretical. I always like to pull it down to, what does that say to me? How does his omniscience impact me? So let me read Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Let me just share with you five areas of God's omniscience and how it impacts me and you. The first is my sins. And that's kind of the bad news of the morning. Psalm 69:5. You know my folly, O God. My guilt is not hidden from you. It's uncomfortable for us to realize, when we really think about it, that there are no secrets with God. There are some things about myself that I really wish God didn't know. Over the years, my tendency to get discouraged, lustful thoughts, times of doubt in prayer, a quick tongue, anger at how slow I perceive God moves. God knows all that about me and more, and He knows your list too. He knows everything. And so it's really foolish for us, when we do wrong, to try to hide that from God. We try to sneak around God and put those things in the back of the closet, like maybe God won't find them. And that's what Adam did when he sinned. Remember, he covered his sin. He covered himself up. The great cover-up. It never works. So God went looking for Adam in the garden and said, "Adam, where are you?" Whenever God asks a question in the Scripture, it's not for information. He's not doing it for His benefit. It's always for our benefit. He knew exactly where Adam was and what he had done. Adam needed to realize where God was and the damage that he had done by his sin. Proverbs 5:21. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and He examines all his paths. That means we always have an audience with God. God is always watching. There are no secrets with God. Nothing is off the record. He sees you when you make that midnight raid on the refrigerator when you're supposed to be dieting. Whatever we do, God sees it. Now, then Satan whispers in our ear, "No one will ever know." And then after you do it, he says, "What if somebody finds out?" He's sneaky. Then we worry. And when you worry, that's the sign that somebody already has found out. Because God knows. But here's the good news. God isn't shocked by our sin. He's already seen it. He knows all about it. He understands our frailties. He knows that we are but dust. So be honest with God. Just admit it. 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we simply say, "Father, you're right. I'm wrong." He knows everything about you and still loves you. What you've done doesn't change the way He thinks about you. He loves you unconditionally. He wants the best for you. So confessing your sin is a benefit to you. A.W. Tozer says, "It is sweet to know that our Heavenly Father knows us completely. No talebearer can inform on us. No enemy can make an accusation stick. No forgotten skeleton can come tumbling out of some hidden closet to expose our past. No unsuspected weakness in our character can come to light to turn God away from us, since He knows us utterly before we knew Him, and called us to Himself in the full knowledge of everything that was against us." He knows my sins. He also knows my hurts. I think David is a real good role model for men especially, who have a hard time expressing themselves to God. Here's what David says in Psalm 31:7. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. We might think nobody knows the trouble I've seen. God knows. God knows what frustrates you. Psalm 56:8. Record my lament. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? God sees every tear you cry. He writes down and records each hurt. When you're hurting, you feel alone. Maybe because there's been a death in your family. Or you're going through a divorce. Or you lost your job. Or a friend moved away. And you think, no one can understand what I'm feeling right now. God can. So what is God feeling when you hurt? Listen to Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God feels sympathetic toward you in your hurt. He sees and cares. He understands why this hard, difficult thing is happening to you. He knows the causes. He knows the reasons. What has brought you to this point of frustration and despair. So since he already knows all that, why not just bring those concerns to him in prayer? 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares, all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So cast those things on him. Don't hold on to them. Don't take them back once you've given them to him in prayer. Tell God, express your true heart to him, your sins, your hurts, your disappointments. Draw close to him. He knows and he cares. He also knows all about my future and your future. Let's read some verses of scripture. Also from Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knew you in the womb and knew what you would become. In Jeremiah 29:11, we read, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God knows your future and he's determined to bless you. Just like he did the Jews of the Exodus. Let me read from Exodus 3. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God has a good land for you, too. That doesn't mean that life's going to be easy, but just that he has a favorable destiny for you because you're his child. How does God know the future? He knows because he's not limited by time like we are. God can dwell in the past, the present, and the future simultaneously. Let me illustrate it this way. You walk out of your house and you're on the street, and you look down the street, and you can see two or three blocks, and that's your vantage point. That's your perspective of life. But if you climbed a mountain, you could look down on the whole valley below. But if you flew in an aeroplane, you would be able to see the entire region. Your perspective changes the higher you are. Let me illustrate it another way. You're standing by the train tracks, and a train is going by you. Car one, which you saw, is already down the tracks in the past for you. Car 30 is presently in front of you, and that's what you see. That's your reality. But car 50 is yet to come. It's in the future, but soon it'll pass you too. But God sees the entire train tracks. He sees the entire train, the front from the beginning, because he has a higher perspective. He sees the past, the present, and the future. So the fact that God sees my future gives me great comfort and confidence. He knows everything that's going to happen to me and to you. In fact, he'll prepare us today for what he knows is going to happen tomorrow. So again, we can have confidence in our God. It may take us by surprise, but it's not going to take God by surprise. So if and when that crisis strikes, we say, where's God? And the truth is, God's right there. He's already there with you. He's not surprised. I'm reading through the Bible this year, as I do some years. Read through the whole Bible. And so I've already read through Genesis. And when I come to the Joseph narrative in 39 through 50, when I'm in chapters 44 and 45, it never fails. I always cry about that reconciliation with his brothers. For some reason, that just touches me so deeply. And I like what Joseph says in 45:5 of Genesis. And now, speaking to his brothers, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. Because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. See, God knew what was going to happen to Joseph, that he was going to be treated unfairly by his brothers and sold into slavery in Egypt. And then he was going to be bought by the prison, head of the prison, Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife was going to unjustly accuse him, and that he would be in jail for 13 years. But God saw the good that was going to come out of that, that through Joseph's life, he would save an entire group of people. 70 came down to Egypt, and millions, a couple million left Egypt and formed Israel. God knows all that. So we can trust him with our future. Since God knows our future, then we can seek him for answers. I like Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. We don't know the future. God does. Now, he won't tell you everything. He won't give you every detail. He's not going to give you the blueprint for your future. If he did, you'd be overwhelmed. You would probably be discouraged, maybe sad in some instances, or maybe too prideful in others. So he doesn't give you all of it because he wants you to walk by faith. But he will give you words and pictures to encourage you and to move along, that it's going to be okay, that God is with you. What else does God know about me? He knows my needs. Now, we have a lot of needs and concerns as human beings, don't we? And a big one is money. So here, listen to this promise from God. Matthew 6:31-2. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. See, God knows all your needs. He's your daddy. He promises to take care of you. So do you ever act as though God is unaware of your bills? God, I'm going under. I don't know what I'm going to do at the end of the month. I'm not going to make it. And then you start worrying, don't you? You know what worry is indicating? That you don't believe that God is omniscient. When we act as though God doesn't know and care, it's like slapping his face. Then what do? We usually take matters into our own hands, like Abraham and Sarah did. We begin to worry. Worry is playing God. Worry is taking God's responsibility. Someone gave me this sheet of paper a long time ago, and I've kept it in my files, and I love it. It says, good morning, this is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I do not need your help, so have a good day. I need to be reminded of that a lot, because I'm thinking, oh no, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? I believe that every basic emotional problem that we have that's not chemically related is based on a wrong perception of God. It's a misunderstanding of who God is and what he does. When I know God, I have peace. When I'm stressed out, it's usually because I've forgotten who God is and what He has promised to do. What has He promised to do? He's told us in Matthew 6:8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. The Father knows every financial, spiritual, emotional, physical, relational need I have. And so that passage says, go ahead and pray. What follows after 6:8 is 6:9, the Lord's Prayer. He knows all that you need, so pray about your needs. Prayer isn't giving God information. God, you need to know about this so you can do something. He already knows, right? Prayer is simply humbling yourself and asking for His help. Prayer hurts my pride because by praying, I'm actually admitting, I can't do this on my own. I need You. And that's a good place to be. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Don't panic. Pray. Prayer isn't getting God's attention. You already have that. He cares about you. He sees your need, and He will meet your need. He's promised to. I met Dick Mills a long time ago, and I don't even know if Dick's still alive. I met him at a pastor's conference in 1998 that Jack Hayford was putting on at his church. And Dick had a unique ministry. He was one of the presenters at the conference. Dick has memorized 7,700 verses of the Bible. All the promises of God that are in the Bible, he's memorized, and many more. And he had a ministry of personal prophecy. He met with each of us pastors who were at the conference, and he prayed over us, and then the Lord would give him a word for us. And he'd minister to us through that word. And he would always give you a scripture. And he gave me Philippians 4:19, which says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then he looked at me and said, and you've got it made in the shade. I don't know why he said that. I was puzzled about that. And even the verse, meet all my needs. Yeah, he's meeting all my needs. But within 3 months, the Lord had led Kathy and I to step down as pastor of Church of the Master in Canton. We had no income. And so we saw how God did meet all our needs according to His riches in glory. And then the Friends Church in Marysville, Ohio, called us to go down there and pastor where we were for 13 years. And we found our house that we were going to buy. And the backyard had 30 big shade trees in it. Yes, indeed, we did have it made in the shade. All right. Lastly, God knows my service. He knows my service in your service. Everything, anytime you do the right thing, God sees. You had a chance to sin against Him, but you didn't. You made a stand for God when it was difficult and there was a lot of pressure not to. God sees. Matthew 6:1-4. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That's how you give. Every act of kindness is seen by God. Every encouraging word you give to someone, every time you volunteer or minister, He sees and will reward you. I can almost picture in heaven God elbowing an angel and says, take a look at that. What my servant John and Mary, they're doing right now. They bought a bag of groceries and they're giving it to their neighbor. Write that down. And you thought nobody saw what you did. God did. So live for an audience of one. You know, I like it when people see me do a good deed and they think, what a great guy he is. But you know what? God likes it better when no one sees so He can reward me. So in light of all that, what is my responsibility toward the God who knows everything? Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So I would say, don't quit. Some of you this morning might be discouraged. You've been doing the right thing at work and in your marriage, and you're not seeing results. You've really been trying to live for Christ out in your workplace or at school and make an impact for Christ in people's lives, and you're just not seeing much fruit. I would say don't give up. The Scripture says there will be a harvest if you don't quit. That harvest may be long into the future or maybe in heaven, but don't give up. The fact that God knows everything about you is either going to be very comforting to you or disturbing. It depends on your relationship with Him. If you're close with Him and you're honest with Him, then that's going to be great, knowing that He's always there, always sees you, always helping you. But if you're trying to hide things from Him, then, yeah, that's going to be a big bummer. So let me ask you as we wrap it up here, what are those five areas are you acting as if God is unaware of the need in your life? Is it sin in your life? Come clean, confess it. Is it your future? Just commit it to Him. Believe that He has your future and ask Him for wisdom. Are you worrying about stuff? Stop it and start trusting Him. He will provide for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You are omniscient. Your understanding has no limit. You see us through and through. We can't hide anything from You, so let's not. Let's just right now, if there's something that we need to tell You about right now as we are in this moment, to tell You about it. Just go ahead. Talk to your Heavenly Father. What do you need? Do you need financial help? You don't know how that bill's going to get paid. Do you need Him to touch and heal your body? Do you need Him to forgive a sin? He'll do it. Just talk to Him right now. Lord, it's amazing to me that You are the great and awesome God who created this entire universe, and yet You care about us. You know us. And You want to have a relationship with us that's real. Not religion, but a relationship. Thank You, Lord, for Your omniscience and what that means to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's stand.